I want to invite you to turn to Psalm 121. Now, I'm sure for many of you, this is a very familiar psalm. You'll be able to recite it without even looking at it. I know that many of you will know it from the Authorized Version, but we're going to read it from the New International. So let's gather around the Word of God and hear what he has to say to us tonight. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen. Let's just take a moment and pray together again, then we're going to look at this psalm. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's living, that it is active, that it speaks right into our very situation that we're living through right now. And I pray, Father, that tonight by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you will take these words and you will plant them deep in our hearts, that you will draw us close to yourself, and we will see you and you alone in and through this psalm. And we want to thank you for it, Lord. Father, may your Spirit speak in and through your servant, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 121 is one of a group of 15 psalms that come under the title Psalms of Ascent. They start from Psalm 120 and they finish at Psalm 134. It's seen by some of the commentators as nearly being like a hymn book that was sung by the pilgrims either at the time of the end of their captivity in Egypt as they came out of there, or as they were making their way up to Jerusalem during the three pilgrimage feasts, the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Some commentators would say that the Psalms were actually sung on the steps leading up to the temple. There were 15 steps. And that the priest would have stopped on each one and sung a different psalm each time. The first psalm is that Psalm 121. And 120. In 120, it's the pilgrims are still in this remote location. They're lamenting about their living conditions and they're longing to be near the house of God. They just can't wait to get on to this journey. And as we move into Psalm 121, some call it the soldier's psalm, believing that it was penned by David when he was in difficulty and when he was having to trust God to watch over him and to cover him in days of battle. Some others know it as the traveler's psalm because the psalm, as we've already sung, has this image of a traveler on a journey. And at the very start of it, the traveler is looking to the hills. And he sees the hills in the distance and he's wondering and maybe even fearing what is going to be on the other side of this hill. I think in all my years as a deaconess, it's probably the piece of scripture that I've used most in pastoral situations because it covers so much. There has been the odd time when it has gone badly wrong, especially when it talks about not letting your foot slip and you've just been in with somebody with a broken leg. But for the most part, it really covers different situations that people are going through. It starts off at the very beginning to remind us to lift our eyes to God and away from our own situation. It reminds us that the help that we desire, God will send in his own way and in his own timing. And that help, the original Hebrew word for it is like a military assistance that God gives in a battle. It reminds us that if God made heaven and earth, if he did that, then he can deal with any situation that you and I are going through. The Psalm 139 reminds us of the omnipresence of God. No matter where we are, he is there. The psalmist wrote, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise in the wings of dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." No matter where you are, God is there. No matter what your situation is tonight, God is there. He's with you in the midst of it. So let's take a closer look at the psalm as we just break it down. The first two verses, "I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." And from the very start, God makes this a very personal, reflective psalm. I lift my eyes. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. And it's asking them to lift their eyes to the hills. And we have to remember that this is looking back into the Old Testament. The temple in Jerusalem was the dwelling place of God on earth. The glory in the cloud and the Holy of Holies signified the presence of the Lord amongst the people. And the city of Jerusalem, situated on a hill and surrounded by hills. And so when a Jew is in another part of Israel and needing divine help, he looks towards Jerusalem. He looks towards the hills. But it's not the hills he's looking at. It's Jerusalem. It's the temple. It's where God dwells. He's lifting his eyes to God. And it's the same for you and me. I want you to turn with me for a wee moment just to 1 Kings chapter 8. And down to verse 22. This is what it says. "And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the whole assembly of Israel. He spread out his hands towards the heavens and said, 'O Lord, God of Israel, there's no God like you in heaven above or on earth below. You keep your covenant of love with your servants who continue wholeheartedly in your way. You have kept your promise to your servant David, my father. With your mouth you have promised, and with your hand you have fulfilled it as it is today. Now, Lord God of Israel, keep your servant David and my father the promises you made to him when you said, you shall never fail to have a man sit on before me on the throne of Israel. If only your sons are careful in all they do to walk in the ways that they've done before. And now, O God of Israel, let your word that you promised your servant David, my father, come true. But will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built? You give attention to your servant's prayer and his plea for mercy, O Lord, my God. Hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is praying in your presence today. May your eyes be open towards this temple night and day, this place of which is said, my name shall be there, so you will hear the prayer your servant prays towards this place. Hear the supplications of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray towards this place. Hear from heaven your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive." people remembered back, the psalmist remembered back, in looking to the hills, they were looking to God, the Creator God, the God who had made heaven and earth, the one in whom they had put their faith and their trust. And that whole phrase, even just maker of heaven and earth, only appears 5 times in Scripture. And 3 of those times are here in the Psalms of Ascent. If we believe that God is our Creator God, if we believe He's the maker of heaven and earth, then we have to trust that He is more than able to bring us through whatever we are going through, wherever we are in the journey. Trusting that He knows where we are in the journey. We may make our plans, but it is the Lord who determines our steps. And so begins a number of promises that God makes to the pilgrim. He makes a promise of He will not let your foot slip. He makes a promise He will not slumber or sleep. He makes a promise that the sun will not harm you by day or the moon by night. He makes a promise that He will keep you from all harm. His promise, I will not let your foot slip. When God speaks of not letting your foot slip, when the word slip is used in Scripture alongside foot or feet, it's talking about slipping in a time of trouble. The journey up to Jerusalem would be treacherous. The ground was uneven. There was mountainous. A slip or a fall could have led to your death. And so God is clearly saying, I've got you. I'm with you in this. On Thursday I passed one of the young men connected to our church, and he was out walking in the driveway, his one-year-old son. And the little boy was standing in front of his dad with his 2 hands up. And he was holding on to his dad's fingers. But more importantly, the dad was holding him. And you know, that's the picture that God wants us to see. That as we walk with Him and He walks with us, that yes, we may be holding on to Him, but more importantly is God is holding on to us. Just as that child needed a strong hand to guide him, then we need a strong hand of God upon us to keep us and to walk with us. In Jude 24 and 25 it says, to Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Saviour be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. God can keep you from falling. And then it promises that He will not slumber nor sleep. In the Old Testament times, the people believed that the gods did sleep, that they did take time off, that they would actually go off nearly on holidays. And if you remember back to 1 Kings, to that battle that Elijah has on the mountainside with the prophets of Baal. And you remember that they put the wood on and they put he tells the prophets of Baal to call down their god. And you remember that it went on all day and nothing is happening. In the midst of that battle, that Elijah starts to taunt them. And he starts to taunt them by telling them to shout louder to their God. And it says that he says to them, well, maybe he's deep in thought. Or maybe he's too busy. Or maybe he's traveling. Maybe he's sleeping and must be wakened. Our God never sleeps. Our God never slumbers. Our God never misses a thing that's going on in your life or in mine, day or night. Our God is not detached from our lives. And he's never caught off guard. In the psalm, he promises that he will not let the sun harm us by day or the moon by night. And again, the psalmist is reflecting back to Exodus, to that time when they're led out of captivity and the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud during the day and the fire, pillar of fire at night time, so that they were able to travel by day or by night. The cloud during the day, protecting them from the heat of the desert sun. And when the heat is turned up on our journey, then God is right there beside us. And I think Alistair touched on this some weeks back. Do you remember when we were looking at Mark's gospel? And he's the wee boy that had the epileptic fit, or a fit of some kind, in Mark 9. And he explained that day that the Greek meaning of epilepsy is moonstruck. And back in Old Testament times, that they believed that if you were in the moonlight too much, that it affected your health, your mental health, that impacted upon you. And God is saying, you know something? I'm watching over you. I am the watchman who takes care of the city and its inhabitants during the night watch, and whoever is overtaken, I'm never overtaken by slumber or sleep. Those promises were especially meaningful to a pilgrim on their way to Jerusalem during their daily march and their night encampment. They're placed under the care of Jehovah. And he promises that he will protect us from all harm. Does that mean that good will always be in our lives all of the time? No. It's not what Scripture is saying. But God's very clearly saying to us that when things are not good, he is there with us in the midst of it. I don't know if any of you have read the book, The Shack. I read it some years ago. I passed it on to Samina, and I remember at the time we were asking, is it good? And going, well, I'm not quite sure how I would describe it. But it is a real, like an allegory, I think, would you describe it? But there's a bit in it where it's about a man whose child is killed. And there's a bit in it where God says to him, you know, I never left your child. No matter what was happening, I never left. Even though something bad happened, I had never left. I stayed with her. I was always with her. And you know, things happen in our lives that are not good. And God says, I haven't left you in those times. I am there still with you. And in keeping his promises, depending on what translation you're leading, you will see that he uses this phrase, watch over, or a phrase, keep you. And it's repeated time and time again. It's repeated in verse 3 when he says, I will watch over your life. Verse 4, I will watch over Israel. In verse 5, I will watch over you. In verse 7, I will watch over your life. In verse 8, I will watch over your coming and going. And the overall meaning is that the Lord is your protector. The original word for it in the Hebrew, and I'm not even going to try and pronounce it because I'll say it all wrong. It's spelled S-A-M-A-R. But it has the meaning to keep, to watch, to observe, to guard, to be secured. And that's what God is doing with you each and every moment of your life. He's watching over you. He's protecting you. He's there with you in the midst of it all. And if we look through Scripture, and then we see this picture of God watching over us at all sorts of different times. In Psalm 91, it's this picture of where he says in verse 4, I will cover you, he will cover you with his feathers. And it's the picture of the hen when she gathers in her chicks. And she will spread her wings out and she will draw them into herself. and she will protect them by holding her in close to them. In verse 11 of Psalm 91, it's, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways, securing you, protecting you, watching over you. In Psalm 23, he's the shepherd looking after the sheep, who watches over them, who makes sure that they get the very best grass that they need, that they get the very best rest that they need. He's the shepherd who, when a sheep goes missing, he goes after them to find them and to bring them back. He's the good shepherd. In Genesis 16, the story of Hagar and Ishmael, and it's that part where Hagar and Sarah have had this ongoing battle. And Hagar runs away and she takes her son, and there comes a point out in the desert where they have run out of water. Everything has gone wrong. And God comes and he speaks to Hagar. And at the very end of that story in verse 13, Hagar says this, "You are the God who sees me." In a desert, in a dry place, away from everything else. "You are the God who sees me." He's the God who sees you and me tonight. And in Exodus, when the children of Israel were going through so much, you had God who was saying, "I have heard the cry of my people." Let me assure you that God has heard your cry. He's not turned away from you. He knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. And he's right there with you in the midst of it. And he's not going away. But he asks that we draw close to him. The psalm finishes with that little bit where it says, "The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." And it's back to that this morning when we talked about the Shema, these verses of scripture that were put around the doors so that no matter when the people came and went, they knew that God was there with them, that God was walking with them, that he would be with them throughout the day, day and night. He would never leave them. He would never move away. This is by far my favorite psalm. I think I first fell in love with it down in the Mourne Mountains, sitting on the hillside, waiting for a group of Duke of Edinburgh children to arrive at a certain point and fearing that they had got terribly lost. And yet this promise from God that day, "I'm watching over them." You might think you're sitting on the hillside watching over them, but actually, I'm watching over them. And that's his promise to you and me tonight. He will watch over us every moment of every day, no matter what you and I are going through. He watches over us. Let's pray together. Father, for some of us, these have been tough days, difficult days, hard days. For some of us, these have been frightening days when we have felt alone, when we have felt, Lord, that you have been at a distance from us, when we have felt, Lord, at times that we weren't quite sure that you knew what we were going through. And yet, Lord, your word has promised us tonight that you had never left us, never forsaken us, but that you had been watching over us. You are watching over us, and you will watch over us. And for that, Lord, we thank you for that tonight. Father, draw near to us. And each of us on the part of the journey that we are on, will you walk with us? Like that father taking his child by the hand, will you take us by the hand and walk with us? Will you uphold us on those days when we feel that we're going to fall? And guide us in all the things that you want to bring us through. And thank you, Lord, that it's for now and forevermore. For that, Lord, we are blessed. Amen.